Berdriff, remind me, what's your love language?
Words of affirmation.
Okay, yes, that is what I thought. Well, buckle up for this great listener review. Best podcast out there. I love learning about sustainability through this great resource.
Oh, I do feel the love. If you too are loving Trace Material, it would mean the world to us if you could spare a few words of affirmation in the form of a rating and review on Apple Podcasts. It helps us expand our listenership and makes me feel loved.
All right. Let's start the show.
All right, folks, I'm coming to you from the field today. We are on campus here at Parsons School of Design at the New School in the Dongye Healthier Materials Library, and I'm joined by senior researcher Luam Malake. Hi, Luam.
Hi, Virgis.
Thank you for joining me. What is a healthier materials library?
Well, our healthier materials library is focused on materials that have minimal negative impacts on health and the environment and related social justice issues. So each of the materials have been vetted for what those impacts are all along the life cycle of that material.
We're in essentially a glass box in the middle of the architecture floor here at Parsons and surrounded by things like hemp and lime blocks and healthy ceramic tiles. Do we have any mycelium-based materials here, Luam?
Yes, we do, Virgis. We have mycelium-based materials that are substitutes for leather, for acoustic tiles, for decorative wall tiles, flooring products, packaging materials, quite a few things, and we're always getting more.
So today we're going to be talking about some of these mycelium products and mycelium-based materials and all the potential that they hold. We're going to hear from Luam again later in the episode, but for now, I think let's throw it back to the studio and run the theme song. This is Trace Material.
Today's the big day. As you just heard from Burgess and Luam, in this episode, we're finally diving into the ever-expanding world of mycelium materials. If you caught our last episode, you'll remember that we explored mycelium's ability to break down toxic materials. Today, we're looking at their potential to become a building block of a healthier material revolution that could make those toxic materials obsolete. Honestly, what can't mycelium do?
Now, if you're struggling to picture how this complex underground web of fungal branches becomes a leather or a styrofoam or a plastic substitute, not to worry. I know this all sounds pretty out there, but all will be revealed. Today, we're telling a story of potential. It's one about what our world could look like if it were made from materials that are good for our planet and our bodies. But it's not a story that starts in the far-off future. And actually, it's not just about potential. Fortunately, there's a lot of kinetic energy happening in this space at this very moment in upstate New York.
You can't tell the story of mycelium materials so far without Ecovative. Folks at Ecovative are the pioneers of this movement, and our guide for today's episode is co-founder Gavin McIntyre. We're going to talk to Gavin about how an undergraduate student project birthed a cutting-edge myco industry and what the future of that industry looks like. Along the way, he'll help us break down the fungi material process by taking us inside the growth chambers and laboratories at Ecovative.
My name is Gavin McIntyre. I'm one of the co-founders and I serve as the chief commercial officer here at Ecovative. And Ecovative is a biomaterials company that leverages mycelium, the vegetative or root-like structure of mushrooms, in order to solve some of the world's most pressing problems as they relate to our dependence both on plastics and animal agriculture, where we can grow rather than manufacture the next generation of materials that can perform and be accessible by the masses.
Ecovative is leading a healthy materials revolution, and fungi are at the center. Gavin and his team are hell-bent on tapping into the power of mycelium to grow new materials that can replace the glut of petrochemically-based materials that are overflowing our landfills and poisoning our planet.
over the last century, we have developed lots of new manufacturing processes, from how we have transformed non-renewable materials like fossil fuels into plastics, which of course have ended with a lot of devastating consequences for our surrounding environment. What we're able to do at Ecovative is tap into the rapid growth rate of mycelium and various mushroom species to grow next generation products that are entirely bio-based and bio-derived. And of course, at the end of their useful life cycle, fully compostable. And these materials can be direct alternatives for conventional plastics that are used in areas like protective packaging or rigid board insulation, all the way through to high performance materials that you would find in applications like footwear or even leather-like textiles used in apparel.
Ecovative is operating out of a state-of-the-art facility in upstate New York, with a crack team of scientists and engineers at the cutting edge of mycelial research and a global network of partners. But Ecovative's origins are decidedly more humble. The idea of mycelium-based materials was hatched while Gavin and his co-founder, Eben Bayer, were still students. Back in 2007, as engineering undergrads, Gavin and Eben took a course together called Inventor's Studio with professor and entrepreneur Bert Swerzy.
What a name.
So good, right? Bert's mentorship was critical to the formation of Ecovative. His belief that students, like Gavin and Eben, have the chops for real-world change propelled them to take their classroom tinkering and turn it into a bona fide industry.
He believed that the future could really be improved if the right students put their minds on activities around identifying and solving meaningful problems that plague our planet today. And so one of his key drivers was to not do nonsense. And that was one of his primary criteria for whether or not he thought a project that a student presented was a good idea.
This big idea of using mycelium to grow healthier materials was conceived during the Inventor's Studio course. Bert believed in the potential of the work and encouraged Gavin and Eben to hop on the entrepreneurship path to realize that potential.
He immediately saw the value in being able to grow materials with low embodied energy and find something that was an alternative to conventional plastics that are derived from fossil fuels, non-renewable resources. And he really pushed us in order to dive headfirst into starting a company around this novel idea and identifying means of financing it through business plan competitions and grants, things of that nature, while also inspiring us not to just develop technology, but to develop new business models that could help us build an amazing team and also extend the reach of our technology over time.
And that's just what they did. In the spirit of the citizen scientists who came before them, Gavin and Eben grew the first generation of Ecovative materials under their beds and in their closets. They sent them off to labs for testing, continued prototyping, and found funding from various grants and competitions. Now, Ecovative is a juggernaut of the biomaterials movement with world-class laboratories and a growing network of international partners. They're the first to manufacture mycelium materials at an industrial scale, and we'll get to the fermentation incubators and microscopy tools that make that possible. But first, I want to scale back a bit. I have to admit that even after talking to Gavin, I couldn't quite wrap my head around how these mycelium materials are made. But I thought if I could get my hands on some, it might make sense. So I paid a visit to my friend and former Healthy Materials Lab colleague, Sam Bennett.
Hey.
Hi.
How's it going?
Good. Thanks for having me over.
Yeah, thanks for coming.
Sam is an educator, designer, a researcher, and an expert repairer of things. She's someone who spends a lot of time thinking about all the stuff that we accumulate and what happens to it when we're gone. So when she found out about mycelium materials during her graduate studies, she was intrigued.
Part of my aha moment is like, wow, we have a lot of things, but as a person that likes to make, what could I make that I wouldn't feel that guilty about? And mycelium is a really nice material to work with because it basically can break down back into the earth. It won't last forever. And the more that you learn about mushrooms and mycelium, like they're just, it's incredibly magical.
So Sam reached out to Ecovative and got one of their DIY mycelium kits. That's grow it yourself.
This was what I wanted Sam to show me.
It's just in the fridge.
Oh, it takes up like a third of your fridge.
Yeah, it's not It's a little contentious because it's been in the fridge for 3 years now. But yeah, it's like this, it's this big loaf. It's like a giant loaf of bread, basically. And
Sam pushed aside a pair of cantaloupes and pulled out a 2-foot by 3-foot bag that did in fact look a lot like a big old loaf of sourdough. But it's actually agricultural waste that's been inoculated with mycelium.
It has a little bit of moisture from water, and then it has corn husks, hemp, wood chips, maybe a little bit of straw, and it's all kind of chopped up into, I would say like at the bottom of a bag of chips, kind of like it's like it looks like wet mulch, basically.
This unassuming cocktail of waste is all you really need to start making with mycelium. You just add a little bit of water and flour and pack this mixture into a form, seal it off, and then wait for the mycelium to do its thing over the next 3 to 5 days.
What mycelium is doing is it's taking that agricultural waste and it's connecting it. So, like Ecovate likes to say, is nature's glue, which is a really good description of it. So what is happening is mycelium is filling in any gap between the agricultural waste. In addition, it's breaking down the agricultural waste. So it starts to become really solid.
In case you missed that, Sam said that Ecovative likes to call mycelium nature's glue, which is the perfect description. So remember that mycelium is this filamentous web that's always growing underground and waiting to sprout mushrooms when the time is right. In this case, when the mycelium is activated, it begins weaving and eating its way through the waste mixture, filling in any space it can, and binding everything together. After your mixture has sufficiently hardened, you pop it out of its form and gently bake it in the oven to stop the growth.
And then you've got this really unique natural material that's sturdy and honestly nice to look at. Sam showed me a stool that she'd made early in her myco-experimentation.
Feels kind of like styrofoam, but heavier. And obviously, like, much healthier and better for the environment than styrofoam. But I think one of the bigger things about it is it can feel really velvety and, like, kind of creepy.
Oh, yeah.
Skin-like way. Like, my grandma had really soft skin, my grandma Dixie, and this feels like touching her arm. This is more velvety than the outside.
Yeah, the outside is like a dense and sturdy rice cake.
Yes, it is. That actually makes me hungry. Yeah, it's just like a rice cake. It looks like it too.
So that's how the basics work at a small scale. But Gavin and Eben aren't growing mycelium materials under their beds or in their closets anymore. And they have an industrial-sized refrigerator. Over the last decade and a half, they've scaled their myco experiments up to become the world leaders in mycelium material innovation.
Here today, we operate a series of basically indoor vertical farms that are very analogous to conventional mushroom farms. And so if you were to come into our laboratory facility, we have lots of really amazing resources from molecular biology and geneticists all the way through to the biologists and mycologists that run what we call our mycelium foundry. In our foundry, we have a series of what's known as solid state fermentation incubators. If you think about how beer is brewed or how pharmaceuticals are typically produced, they tend to be produced in liquid fermentation. And so you're using an organism in order to produce a small molecule. That could be alcohol, it could be a drug. In our instance, we're actually growing structure. We're growing a fully assembled material. And we're using solid state fermentation or the agricultural debris that we source from local farmers. And so within our laboratory facility, we have a family of small-scale incubators that we call benchtop bioreactors that allow us to regulate and elicit different types of growth and structures and then readily assess from a genetics perspective which parts of the genetic code are being turned on in different environments that then yield different types of mechanical properties.
All right, if you, like me, just had a flashback to feeling totally lost in high school biology, deep breath. The work that's happening inside Ecovative's lab is incredibly complex and innovative. But if we try to break it down and remember what's happening inside Sam's fridge, I think we can get a handle on it. Sam talked us through the way mycelium behaves under a certain condition, when it's eating its way through her bag of corn husks, hemp, and wood chips. The scientists at the Mycelium Foundry are experimenting with all the different ways you can tweak the behavior of mycelium by changing its conditions. What happens if you change the substrate, or if a different species is grown at a different temperature or humidity level?
Mycelium can be grown in a bunch of different ways to yield a bunch of different products. Sam's GIY kit is an example of what are called composite mycelium materials. The mycelium acts like glue and binds together agricultural waste of some kind. Lately, Ecovative has been experimenting with a new way of growing mycelium that produces what's known as pure mycelium materials. Basically, with a delicate balance of perfect conditions, Ecovative can coax mycelium to grow up and away from its food source rather than down and through. The mycelium climbs into the air and forms a foamy material. It's like bread rising in an oven.
Ecovative calls their composite materials mycocomposite and their pure mycelium materials air mycelium.
Now, when it comes to our air mycelium platform, growing pure mycelium products, which now have even more breadth than our mycocomposite applications because we can use different species and we can garner different structures that then have different value propositions to various markets. We really take that on a case-by-case basis. The first component is identifying a problem, which is what we learned from our professor, Bert Swerzy. Don't start with a solution. Make sure that you define the space for a particular problem so that you can then create a solution and then present it to the market as quickly as possible.
It's amazing to see how the words of Gavin's professor continue to guide him after all these years. Really a testament to the impact a great educator can have. Ecovative continues to follow the instruction of starting with a problem. And in the case of air mycelium, they've identified problems in three different industries they'd like to address: fashion, beauty, and food. Air mycelium is being used to replace leathers and foams used in the fashion industry with a vegan and plastic-free alternative. It's replacing single-use plastic products in the beauty industry with compostable options. And it can even be used as a meat substitute. Ecovative is partnering with established brands to bring these applications to market.
Once we believe we've defined the problem, we can either integrate as an organization to bring that product directly to market ourselves. But more often than not, we look to identify potential partners within that market that know the space far better than we do and can help inform and give us feedback on how to develop and position the product for sale. The value for us is that we can focus on core technology development while we can leverage a partner to align on what the trajectory is to market. So we can focus on the biology and the farming, and our partner can really focus on the market and commercialization.
Ecovative is finding ways to plug their mycelium materials directly into existing supply chains with partners well-versed in their various industries. It's a model that makes me hopeful that these healthier materials can genuinely be scaled in a meaningful way that starts to loosen the grip that petrochemicals have on our industries and planet. And fortunately, Gavin is pretty hopeful too.
I personally am very hopeful about the future. One, because I see a lot of very interesting and impactful alternatives coming to the table today to solve the broader plastics problem. And this truly is going to be a wide range of solutions that really need to compete with nearly a century's worth of plastics that have been developed. And so from my perspective, I believe that there's a lot of interest and engagement from the broader community. One, in terms of adopting new materials. So we're seeing governments and industry starting to change approach based on what individuals are demanding for better materials and products going forward. And two, I think biology really offers a unique opportunity that is empowering to individuals that want to solve some of the world's most pressing problems, because it's challenging to produce your own plastics in your house. But biology is such that it can truly be decentralized and grown in your home kitchen or garage or backyard, as an example, where the solutions don't have to come from a large corporate lab. They could come from right within your own home, university, or beyond. And the ability to distribute biology and to develop solutions together quickly means that we can accelerate our ability to solve this plastics problem in an impactful and distributed way.
Let's end today's episode back where we started, in the Dongia Healthier Materials Library. Luam walked us through the growing body of fungi-based products that the library has on hand to show replacements for plastic. There are a host of products from Ecovative, but there's also a suede leather replacement from a company called Muskin, and acoustic wall tiles from Mogu. And Luam told us that more and more products are coming onto the market as we speak. She's excited, and she says the students are too.
There's a lot of potential for mycelium, and I think most students are really excited about it. When we had a call for open positions at the library, at least a quarter of all the applicants mentioned mycelium in their response, and the questions were not about materials at all. But that's how much enthusiasm was generated. It has so much potential to be anything that requires like fibrous connection, which is so many things. So there's a lot happening, and there's a lot of interest, which means there's going to be a lot of potential realized.
There's a new crop of design students that are enthralled by the potential of fungi. The Ecovative story is a testament to the effectiveness of the Bert Swerzy approach to mentoring students. No nonsense and meaningful solutions. No doubt there are a bunch of Gavins and Ebens out there tinkering with mycelium materials, ready to tackle another wicked problem we humans have created for ourselves.
Trace Material is a project of Parsons Healthy Materials Lab at the New School. It is hosted and produced by me, Ava Robinson, and Burgess Brown, with support from John Sara Ruth and the whole HML team. If you enjoyed this episode, we'd so appreciate a rating and a review on Apple Podcasts. For more info, head to healthymaterialslab.org/podcast and be sure to give us a follow on Instagram at Healthy Materials Lab. Thank you to Luam Malake, Sam Bennett, and Gavin McIntyre for lending their voices and expertise to this episode. You can take a look at material samples available at the Dongia Healthier Materials Library by visiting healthymateriallab.org/Dongia, that's D-O-N-G-H-I-A, or schedule a visit by sending an email to materiallibrary@newschool.edu. You should check out Sam's beautiful repair work by following @repairshop on Instagram. That's repair shop with 2 R's and 2 S's. And if you've not yet seen Ecovative's work, do yourself a favor and visit ecovative.com or follow them on Instagram @ecovative. Head to grow.bio if you want to get your hands on your very own DIY kit. Trace Material is made possible from support by Friends of Healthier Materials. Our theme music is Rainbow Road by Cardioid. Additional music is from Blue Dot Sessions.